through some chapters in the book of Psalms, and from the prayers we looked at, we saw that we can and are invited to express our raw, honest thoughts and feelings to the Lord. Prayer is expressing yourself honestly to the Lord. And I'm so glad that was the sermon last Sunday, because first thing Monday morning, a situation came up where God exposed some sin in my heart that I had been ignoring. And I had an incredible moment by myself in my car, vocally expressing myself to the Lord in a very raw way. And I'm so incredibly grateful the Lord invites us to do that. Today I want to explore another aspect of prayer, and it has to do with our requests that we make of the Lord. So let's go to the Lord before we get started. Father, we come to you looking at your word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would wash over us, wash away the false understanding, guilt, condemnation, wash that away, and leave behind your truth. Please, Father, come and do that with us. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're reading through Scripture, do you ever stop by, are you ever stopped by what you are reading and go, that is amazing. I want to be like that. Do you ever get that while you're reading through Scripture? I hope so. Daniel chapter 3 holds an example of what I want reflected in my life. We looked at this passage a couple of Sundays ago when we were trying to think biblically through the results of the federal election, but today I want to look at it in a different way. In Daniel chapter 3, the king Nebuchadnezzar built this huge statue, and everyone was to bow and worship that thing when this special music started playing. And to ensure that everyone would bow in worship, anyone who did not bow would be burned alive in the furnace that they had created. So we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to worship the statue. And why did they refuse? Because they worshiped the one and only living God. So someone reported these three guys to the king, and they were brought before the king, threatened with death in the furnace, and given one more chance. But listen to their response to the king. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So for these three guys, there was zero compromise in who they worship. These guys were godly. They worshiped only the Lord. And when someone worships God, they talk to him. They receive from him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they obviously were praying guys. And their take on the outcome of this life and death situation they were in was, God will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, we will not serve or worship those gods or idols that you have. They knew God could save them, but they didn't know if he would intervene in that situation. They pray and they leave the outcome to God, whichever way it would go. That's amazing. Absolutely fantastic. My praying is more like, Lord, please do exactly this in this way at this time. I pray like I'm Mr. All-Seeing, All-Knowing, you know? These three guys, Lord, you could take this either way. Whatever way this goes, we're worshiping you. We're with you. That's what I want to be like. Hopefully you want to have faith and trust in the Lord in the same way. So how do we become more like that? How can we pray and trust God with the outcome? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15 helps us. And here is what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. We can be confident that He will listen to us whenever we ask Him for anything in line with His will. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. Trusting in God for the outcome comes from knowing we are going to get what we request. We're going to get what we prayed for. If you know you're getting what you prayed for, you'll be quick to trust God for the outcome, right? But we know, I know, I don't get everything I ask for. So there's something to the what we ask for. So let's unpack this a little bit. Trusting God with whatever outcome begins with being confident that the Lord is listening to us. If you don't think He hears you, if you don't believe that God is listening to you, you're not even going to talk with Him or entertain the idea of trusting Him. Have you ever spoken with someone you know is not listening to you? I have, sometimes on a Sunday morning. I've been with people that they're busy looking at who's behind me or answering their text, or mentally they've just checked out. They're somewhere else. And when I can see they are not listening, I'm done. I'm moving on. This is useless. There's no conversation here, right? I'm done. But when the person is interested in you, they listen. They enjoy you. And that's the Lord. He loves us, is interested, wants to hear us. He is listening. He's listening. For you and I to grow in praying and trusting God with the outcome, we've got to be confident that God is listening to us. And how can we be confident that He is listening to us? Again, the 1 John 5 passage says, when we pray according to His will, when we pray for His will to be done, then Scripture says, we can be confident that He is listening to us. If we are just rattling off, God give me, do this, do this, do this, and it's all for our own selfish gain, selfish motivation, it's not listening. Oh, but the Lord hears all our prayers. Yeah, He hears, but well, maybe not. Maybe all the gimme, gimme praying shows a lack of relationship, treating God like this vending machine. Give me that. Give me that. This passage says He listens to us when we are asking according to His will, in line with His will. So there are conditions to prayers being heard by the Lord. Now just bear with me, you know, because we could walk away from here going, oh, I got to come up with a list of things, and now, okay, now the Lord's going to listen to me. But some of these conditions, listen to what they are. They must be prayers that are the same as His will. And prayers that line up with the Lord's will means the one praying is surrendered and submitted to God's will, to His work. Okay? The only people who do that are true disciples of God, who are in fellowship with the Lord, who ask in Jesus' name, who are in Christ and remain in the Lord, who obey God's commands. Confidence that the Lord hears you comes only in real fellowship, genuine worship of the Lord. Only a disciple can address God with confidence, because only a disciple has a hope of praying the Lord's will. And again, I'm not promoting a list of things you have to do to get God to listen to you and to get God to answer your prayer. I'm saying prayer is totally about a genuine relationship with the Lord. That's what prayer is about. And praying God's will means praying so God will be glorified, praying Scripture, praying for what lines up with Scripture, A God-worshipping heart requests from God what God wants. Prayers for what God wants to take place. Prayer isn't a way for us to impose our will onto God. We don't bend His will to ours. We submit and embrace for His will. Every prayer is a variation of "Your will be done." That's the prayer He listens to, and that's the prayer He answers. He wants us to be all about His will, His way. This is what governs awesome verses like Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where God says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." You know, this isn't about your Christmas wish list or your poor me list. It's about God's good will being prayed for and done. This is true religion. This is true spirituality, true worship. Lining up my will with the Lord's will. Living His will and praying for His will. That's when we can confidently leave the outcome to Him. Whatever He decides to do. Perhaps the Lord will save us, perhaps not. But we will always be worshiping the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15 lines up with what Jesus teaches and his actions from Matthew 6, verse 10 and Mark 14, verse 32 to 42. In that Mark 14 passage, Jesus is in the garden. We've heard this passage a number of times. He says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." J.I. Packer says about this, that Jesus' whole being shrank away from going to the cross because he knew how terrible it would be to be sin and have God's wrath poured onto him. But Jesus was all about God and the Father's will to be done. And he prayed, "God's will be done." Matthew 6, verse 10, in the Lord's Prayer, the same thing. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what's God's will? I want to pray it, so what is it? Isaiah 30, verse 21 says something really cool. God says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" That's pretty neat. Being open to the will of God, seeking the will of God, results in receiving God's guidance to His will. We might know just a step of His will and not a whole lot more, but we know His will. He lets us know His will first and foremost through His word, the Bible. Then He also lets us know His will through the church family, through us discerning together. That's why church is important. And through our thoughts, He also reveals His will to us. Through our thoughts and feelings as they are in submission to God's word. So what could this look like? What could seeking His will and then praying His will look like? So here's an example. Here's an attempt to try playing this out, working this out. Let's say you have to buy a house. And you want to pray in line with God's will. So you go to the Bible, and you remember many of the passages that are read before we take up our tithes and offering here on a Sunday morning. You reread those passages that say, everything belongs to God, don't hoard God's money, use whatever you have to glorify God, God loves a cheerful giver. So you remember those. So here is God's will, and it's not just buy whatever house comes along. God's will is whatever house you get will be God's house and should glorify God, not you. Whatever house you get should not cost you so much that you can't be generous toward God. So pray according to these scriptures. Lord, bring a house, guide us to a house that glorifies you and where we can still be generous toward you. Then you go to a few of your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you do something wild. You let them know your income. together, you figure out an amount you could afford to spend on a house while still being generous to the Lord. And together you figure out where and what to buy. And you pray for a house in that area, praying according to God's will. Lord, that town, that area, this price range seems like we'd be staying in your will. Lord, please lead us. So you go look for houses, and you walk into a few that make you feel really important. They make you think that life would be so much better if we lived in this house. You notice this going on in your heart and in your mind, and you realize certain houses in certain areas just seem way, way too important to you. So you pray for a specific kind of house, praying according to God's will. Lord, my self-worth, my identity is being caught up in a house. Keep me from falling into that trap. So in these ways, you discern God's will through Scripture, through godly or with godly brothers and sisters, and God's leading and nudging your heart and your mind. And then you pray according to His will, and leave the outcome to Him. There are times when all we can do is simply say, "Your will be done, your will be done." But often that kind of praying comes from thinking that we don't know God's will, or that we can't know God's will. Yet we have 66 books of revelation from God, the Bible. We can know what God's will is for us very, very often. Maybe not the big, detailed, specific picture, but we definitely know a lot of His will. We just don't put time into searching for His will, which we need to take more seriously and get better at. I remember this young lady years and years ago who didn't have a job for a long time. She wasn't even looking for a job, because she didn't know God's will for her life. So she was waiting and not working. And I asked her why. No, I didn't ask her. I just play this out in my brain though. If I was braver and loved her a little bit more, I would have said, "Why aren't you looking for a job?" Which she would probably have said, "Well, I don't know what God wants me to do." Well, buddy, I'll tell you what God wants you to do. He wants you to work. He created work before sin entered the world. Work is great. He's a working God. Get to work. You know? For some of us, maybe we have some marriage challenges going on. And we're like, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do. My wife just is causing this trouble, and I don't know what the Lord's will is for me in my marriage." Well, I know what God's will is for you in your marriage. Love your wife like Christ loves the church. Ah. Right? Sometimes we hide behind this nonsense of, "I don't know God's will for my life." Yet we have 8 Bibles sitting in our house. But we say, "I don't know what God's will is for me." Well, I'll tell you what it is. He wants you to glorify Him in every single thing that you do. So get busy glorifying Him in every single thing that you do. And He will direct you in new ways to glorify Him while you're glorifying Him. Now stop sitting around and get busy glorifying Him. This sounds all easy for me to say, and I don't want to sound like I come across that I just got this licked, and you know, and I'm always boom out there doing the Lord's will. This is hard stuff, praying His will and leaving the outcome to Him. It's hard, because one of our biggest motivators in life and in praying, if we're honest, is personal comfort. My will, what I want, what benefits me the most. that is usually what directs our praying, the fight against God's will. You'll even get Christians saying, that can't be God's will. It costs you too much. Do you have God's peace? You don't? Well, that can't be God's will then. This is often a way of saying, if you're uncomfortable, that can't be God's will. Whatever is comfortable must be God's will. It's just not true. Being a person who prays God's will and leaves the outcome to God, that's a struggle. And it's uncomfortable because it hurts and it costs a lot. Because praying, Lord, your will, not mine, is literally saying to God, let happen what you want to happen. Whatever the outcome is from this event or situation, I humbly accept without complaining because I'm trusting you sent this or you chose not to send something. That is hard stuff, but it's right and it's the best. Because what a thrill we have to be able to trust the Lord, the sovereign God over everything, who sees every single thing from eternity past to eternity future, and he sees all the connections to everything. How my little life is connected and webbed to all these different things. He knows exactly how that all plays out. There's no surprises to him. He sees it all. And I can come to him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in this situation. I don't know how it's going, but I pray that you save my friend, that you turn their heart towards you to glorify you, that you are glorified in their situation, and I leave the outcome to you. We can do that with the Lord, with trust and confidence that he hears us, and trust and confidence that he is sovereign. Edgar is not the all-seeing, all-knowing, whatever. But I am a child of God with the privilege of being his child who he listens to and has his revealed word. I love this illustration that a guy named E. Stanley Jones gave. He said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to me, to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Our wills are not good left to ourselves. Our hearts, wills, desires, they need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. We needed to be born again, new creations, because we were not good on our own. Our wills need to be pulled over to the Lord's will. Prayer gets us there. And when we are there, we trust God for the outcome. Hopefully, the response from our hearts and minds will be close to what John Wesley wrote in 1755. This is what he says. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. Knowing God's will from Scripture, praying his will be done, trusting him for whatever outcome, that is the way to live. I was privileged to see someone surrender to God's will, trusting God with whatever outcome. And I've mentioned her before, and I didn't say that I was going to mention her this morning, but I think she'll understand that this glorifies God. It was the night that Nick Manduk had his accident a year and a half ago. I was in the hospital with Heidi, his wife, and she prayed and said, God is gracious and can save Nick. If Nick survives this accident, it will be by the grace of God. If Nick does not survive this accident, by the grace of God, he will be with him in heaven. And by the grace of God, we will be okay. Amazing. Awesome. That wasn't easy for her to say. It's probably not easy for her to hear right now, too. Sorry. That's amazing. Praying in God's will, trusting God with the outcome. Church, pray to the Holy Sovereign Lord. Be raw and honest in expressing what's going on in your heart and in your mind, and search for His will in Scripture with your church family, and pray in that way and trust God with the outcome. Let's pray together. Lord, there is hard stuff in here, and so much of this, all of this is about saying no to ourselves and yes to You, lining ourselves up with You, searching Your word, being having Your word be our thoughts, You transforming our wills into being Your will. Lord, we want that. There are so many of us here that are just so tired of the sin that pops up and praying just gimme prayers. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't. We want to pray Your good and right will. And Lord, some of this seems a little complicated, but Lord, we know that we can pray Your word. We can pray the Bible. So Lord, give us an incredible appetite for Your truth, for Your scriptures. And may we go to Your word over and over and feed and feed and feed. Know Your will. Be amazed by who You are. And then pray according to Your will. Teach us, Lord, how to do this. Teach us how to do this when we leave from here. When tomorrow morning when we wake up, at lunchtime tomorrow, at supper time, throughout our day tomorrow and this week. Teach us how to pray according to Your will. Bring Your scripture to mind. May we be all about who You are and what You want done. May we get lost in You and in who You are. And when we're there, then experience truly living as humans here for You. Oh, Father, Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in our hearts. Your will be done in our church family. Your will be done in Shemanus. Your will be done on this island. Your will be done in this country. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And may it begin right here with me. May it begin right here with me. We ask this to glorify You, so that You will be glorified, not us. And we ask this in the Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.